Blog Talk Radio.
All right, you guys, I guess it worked. I'm here. Praise Yah. Let me open up Brother Uriah. Okay, Brother Uriah, can you hear me now?
I can hear you loud and clear.
I don't know what's going on, but we're here. We'll do it as long as they let us do it. But, yeah, I just wanted to make that very clear about yesterday, you know, because I don't ever want anybody to feel as though, you know, they weren't being able to be heard yesterday. And it's a very controversial topic. It is. It's a very controversial topic, and it always has been, and it always will be, you know, because of the male-dominant society that we're in and the way that the story has been read for many years. It doesn't take away from the order of anything. It's just very difficult, you know, for people to accept the fact that there's a female in the picture, you know. So I just wanted to really make that clear because I like the interaction. I want everyone, you know, to be able to voice their opinion. But, you know, when it gets to the point where you're not allowing anybody else to talk and, you know what I'm saying, it's just overly, it's over the top. Sometimes you just have to shut all that stuff down, you know. So I just want to say that because I want us to continue to do that. You know, being quiet as it's kept, there's a lot of people, camp leaders that's sending their family members over here, you know, but, you know, and it's the normalcy of everything. We have to stay as normal as we possibly can. We really do. You know, and I don't ever want to offend anyone. It's not in my nature to be offensive. I just don't want to be offensive toward anybody. I think that everybody's opinions are important, you know, but I just want to say that. So I don't have a whole lot to talk about today. I mean, you know, it seems like this COVID stuff has taken precedence over everything, you know, and, you know, we all trying to get through this debacle, you know, but I enjoy Supernatural Saturday. I do. I enjoy that because the Most High gives us revelation and knowledge, and we get to tap into some things that nobody else is talking about. It gives us an opportunity, you know, to be able to open up that word and dissect that word. And another thing that offends me too is, you know, when we talk about the word of Yah, that's all we have. We don't have anything else. You know, there would be no book of Jasher, Jubilee, or nothing, you know, unless it's mentioned in that Bible. And that Bible been around for hundreds and hundreds of years. So I've heard all of the, you know, the negativity about it's been tampered with, it's been this and it's been that. However, as much as it has, it still holds its power. And as much as the people claim that it people have done this and that and the other to it, we can still find Yah in it. And he still reveals things to us when we read it. And that's all we have. We don't have nothing else. You know, so we have to respect that. I mean, I don't know how you feel about it, Brother Uriah. I feel.
Well, I look at it this way. It's a blessing to be a part of Mission of Yehuda and hear you teach and preach. If I disagree with something, I know inside myself I disagree with it. I don't come on the line to debate with you or anything like that. I just be quiet and listen because you always can learn something. Even if you disagree with something, you can learn something because you never know down the road. You might hear something like that again. You might consider, hey, you might want to look at it again. So I don't dismiss anything that I hear. I just look into it.
And, you know, I mean, like I said, I enjoy the feedback. Don't get me wrong. I think it's healthy, you know, because we're not always going to agree. We're going to disagree, you know, but that's the word of God to me. And it's just as important as it was when we were in Christianity. That's the word. That's our story. That's our history book. So when the children of Yah or the children of Israel get to doubt the history book, who else can substantiate it but us? You know, so, you know, just moving forward, I just want you guys to know that, you know, that is something that, you know, we have to, we're not going to allow to happen again. And we're not upset with anybody or mad at anybody or anything. But when we run up on topics that you feel like is not pertinent or not necessary, We will not. We're just going to keep your line muted so that everybody else can have an opportunity to talk. That's how we're going to do that. You know, it's important. It's important to be able to let other. We got new people on the line all the time, new phone numbers all the time. You know, and when we go through that, it kind of it leaves a bad taste in people's mouths to be able to have to deal with that. So, you know, we're going to, because like I said, there's not too many classes that you can actually call and actually be a part of and actually talk on and actually give your opinion and your voice is heard. There's not too many. And we want to keep it that way. You know, we want to keep it that way, you know, because I think we've done very well. We've been growing, you know, people that have left have come back. You know, and they've gone around and they've come back to the teaching and they've come back to the lessons. You know, you guys are doing a great job, Brother Uriah. You're doing a great job with the High Holy Days and the New Moon Days, you know, and all that kind of stuff. You just don't know how much I appreciate that, you know, to have, you know, the brothers take over because that's been the goal in the beginning, you know, so... I'm excited about that. I really am. I'm excited to have that kind of support and assistance because it's important that we work together as a team. You know, this is supposed to be teamwork, you know, that's happening, but I don't know. I'm just rambling on. I don't know. I want us to be comfortable with, you know, what we're doing and everybody have a chance, you know, to talk.
Well, I'm looking forward to the rest of the lesson of the Godhead. A lot of things I don't know. I still consider myself to be a babe, but I'm learning so much, and I do listen very intently, and I do write a lot of notes. So I'm excited about learning.
Now, let me ask you something. Have you had any people order more of your books?
Well, yes, since your last fill last week, I had two more order. Yes, most definitely.
Okay. Cool.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's a couple of other people that said that they're going to order two from you, you know, because like I said, it's a lot of powerful information in there. And I know everybody gets burnt out. Everybody does. You know, we've been over years about our identity. You know, you used to go on YouTube and pull up Hebrew Israelites, and they would be there proving who we are. And, you know, without a doubt, proving through the scriptures that we are the children of Israel. And I think that everybody knows that now. And if they don't know it, there's enough information online for you to know it. I think everybody knows that now. You know, and we've talked about the second Exodus, and everybody's waiting on that now. You know, I haven't heard too many people talk about the rapture anymore. You know, especially when it comes to the black church. I haven't heard a lot of it. Not saying they don't still do it, but... You know, we're all waiting on that second Exodus. You know, so when we, you know, start talking about different topics, I think that it's important for us to know our Elohim. I really do. I think it's more important for us to know him. You know, because when you know him, when you get to know him, you know, he's something else to get to know. He really is. I mean, you know, when you understand him, that's why I can't be mean to the people of the other nations. And let me tell you why. Because when I read that book and I go through those scriptures, Yah has always used the people of the other nations. He's blessed them. He's put them in office. He's made them kings and queens to run the earth. All through that whole Bible, he has participated with people of the other nation. I mean, when you think about it, just give it some thought. Uriah was a Hittite. He was a Hittite. He was one of the nations that the Most High ran off of the land of Canaan to give it to the children of Israel. He was a Hittite. And when King David took his wife and slept with his wife, and created that baby, and then they turned around and killed Uriah, guess what? The Most High made him pay for that. And what I saw out of that is no matter what happens, Yah is a fair Elohim. He's fair in his execution. That's why I try to tell us all the time, you know, we can't be angry with these people. We can't be vindictive when it comes to these people. We can't be racist when it comes to them. Even though they feel that way about us, we have to show the attributes of Yah, because one thing about Yah, he's fair. And whatever price that needs to be paid, everybody's going to pay the price of what they've done. But when the King David slept with Bathsheba, and they had that baby, and then he deliberately had that man killed, Yah didn't turn around and say, oh, don't worry about it, he don't count no way, that's a good thing you got rid of him because he ain't an Israelite. No, he punished King David for that. He said, that baby that you having with her won't live. That baby will not survive. He made restitution for that. And a lot of people don't read, when I see Yah's character, I see a different Elohim than everybody else that sees, because all through that Bible he's used other nations, and he set Nebuchadnezzar up in his place and called Nebuchadnezzar his servant. And Nebuchadnezzar was from Ham. He was a Hamite. And he allowed him to take Israel into captivity. But when the time came for him to punish Nebuchadnezzar because of his pride, he punished him. He set all these kingdoms in motion, from Greece to Rome to all of them. He set them in motion. And we have to understand who he is, and he's fair with the things that he does. Just like in the New Testament, we look at the centurion. He was a Roman soldier. And he came to Yahweh and said, my son is sick. I heard you got powers. Can you heal him? And he didn't tell him, oh, because you a Gentile, I ain't going to heal your son. You don't get no help from me. He healed that man's son.
I think he also approached Cornelius too, right? You think Cornelius?
Yeah, yeah, Cornelius too, yeah.
Yeah. I think Cornelius is Italian descent. Mm-hmm.
Go ahead, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I think Cornelius was of Italian, right, descent.
Yes, he was. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's why the word is so rich. To me, Brother Uriah, when you go in the word from that perspective, you get to see what kind of personality Yah has. You get to see what kind of Elohim he is and how he operates and what he does to make sure that he does things according, because his name is at stake. Just like he was telling us, he said, you know, I think it's in the book of Ezekiel when he said, you know, I would do you wrong. He said, but for my name's sake, I held back. Because I didn't want to make myself look bad in front of the other nations. That I brought you all the way out here in the wilderness to kill you. So it does matter what he thinks. It does matter to him what the other nations think. But everything is so dogmatic when it comes to us because we're angry because we're here. We're angry because of what we've had to experience being here. We're angry, and justifiably so, to, in our eyes, that everybody has gone too far. Justifiably so. However, we have to always remember in the back of our minds that we did what we did to get here. But Yah has always been fair. He always has. And that's the mystery of him, because, you know, even though you read one thing and he says one thing, he's fair in his execution. And that's the important part about that word. It's to understand it, understand it, understand him, and understand how he operates. you know. So I wanted to be able to share that, and that's why everybody said, oh, yeah, you too nice. No, I'm just trying to have the kind of spirit that the Most High has. I don't want to be found guilty of vengeance. I don't want vengeance to be be the thing that identifies me. I don't want to be vengeful. I don't want to do that. Because I was vengeful in the street. I was vengeful before I came over here. And I know what that's like. I know how that feels. I don't want to be angry. I'm not going to waste no energy being angry at anybody, because guess what? When you do what you do, you reap what you sow. So everybody has to answer for what they do. You know, it's like you look at people and you be like, man, you really shouldn't have done that. You know, because that's going to come back on you. You really shouldn't have done that. I mean, there's not going to be people there to hold your hand through life and say, oh, now, well, you know, that's not right, and you know you're not supposed to do that, and oh, my goodness, you know Yah's going to get you. Everybody has to be grown up and make a decision that whatever you do wrong, it's going to come back on you. Now, it comes faster for some than others, but it's still coming. So I don't waste energy being vengeful to people. You know, like I said, all of the police officers that laughed and joked and they shot people down in the streets and shot black men down in the streets, shot them in the back, choked them to death, that's coming back. And even though it feels like nothing has happened, it's going to come back on them. And when it does, the Most High will bring to their remembrance what they did. I just like to move forward and live in the positive, because that's how we know, you know, that we're doing what Yah has called us to do. You know what I'm saying? I just feel like everybody will have an opportunity, you know, to get back and do good. Because if you reap good, good gonna come to you. You know, if you do the positive, positive things will come. That's just the universal law of Yah, that you will reap what you sow, whether it be good or bad. That's why he said, pray for those that despitefully use you. Because the prayer, you pray for them because it's coming back. So, you know, that's why I like the word, because the word gives me an opportunity to know who Yah is. I'm putting together right now a list of scriptures that talk about the Elohim of Israel creating stumbling blocks for people, putting bad prophecies in the mouth of the prophets, doing things like that. He does things like that just to make sure that you reap what you sow. And I'm like, man, you do all that? He said, I put deceit in the mouth of the prophets. He did. He do all those things. He said, I created a stumbling block for them so that they would fall, so that they would never come back to the place that they were. And I'm just looking at the scriptures like, wow. I don't ever want that to be me. I don't ever want to be to the point where he uses something to lead me astray and I think I'm doing the right thing and I'm doing the wrong thing. I don't ever want that to be me. So when you know it operates like that, your prayers change. You know, let me stay humble. I'm just a servant. You know, Yah, I only want to do what it is you call me to do. I'm not here to gain any self-glory or self-identification or nothing. All of this is you. To you, you belong all the glory and the honor. You stay humble. Because the moment you don't, you'll think you, man, listen, like they said, he's the only employer that I know that'll fire you and let you keep working, and you won't even know you fired. You'll think things, business as usual. He done went on with somebody else. I don't ever want that to be me. So this is the...
Isn't that what happened to Saul? Isn't that what happened to Saul?
Yeah, he did Saul like that. And Saul was arrogant. And Saul was disobedient and arrogant. And with all the dirt that King David did, King David knew how to throw himself on the mercy of the court. He would go in a minute and apologize and lay out and say, I'm sorry, I messed up. You know what I mean? I ain't perfect. I make mistakes. Please forgive me. You know? And, but Saul was different. Saul was like, oh, he'd be all right. This is what I want to do. I'm going to do what I want to do. So, no. When you know him through your word, that's why the word is so important. And the thing that scares me, I'm going to tell you what scares me. I've met people that have come on these shows. I've met them off show, talked to them over the phone, that have come out of the church. And they have this witchcraft spirit. And let me tell you what I mean when I say that. They have this spiritual spirit about them, that they're so super spiritual, and that Yah talks to them so much, and he interjects things into them so much that they don't have time to read the word. Those type of people I stay away from. To me, because to know him, to love him, you have to get to know him. And in order to get to know him, that is through his word. If you always got a spirit speaking in your ear and you're not interested in reading his word, I'm leery of that because I don't know who's talking to you. I've had a lot of witchcraft spirits come on this line wanting to be a spiritual mentor or a spiritual prophetess and all that. Stick to the, if you stay in that word and you stay on your knees, you can't fail. All these people talking about the Most High sent me to you to be, I'm supposed to be a prophet to you and I'm supposed to be this and that. But then you turn around and instill fear. I was sent to you to be a prophet. Well, there should be no fear. You're going to do and say what he tell you to say. So this is where we are today. You know, this is, it's just no nonsense. It's very important for us to stay on the right path and continue to do what we're doing. And even though people may be like, well, y'all are one of the smallest groups in the, that's okay. Because one thing I know, it is never in the numbers. If you look at the number, if you look at the way Yah operates, he's never taken a crowd of people to do anything. He hasn't done it. He just needs people that are going to be humble and obedient. It's only me. And to do what he tells you to do. Those are the important things that we have to understand. You know, and you know, all this, you know, it's just so much out there. The enemy is amping up just to keep us to the point where we're not stable. You have to be flat-footed and secure. This, like, you have to be a tree planted by the rivers of water and said, I shall not move. And by faith, you know that he's coming. And know by faith that the Most High is going to keep his word. Because he will not let his word come back void. It's a lady that's still here with us. And I ain't going to call your name because I know you know who I'm talking to you. She came to the first State of the Nation that we had. And I remember she walked up to me. And she said, I had to come to see you. Now, this lady was sick. I mean, extremely sick. And she, when I talked to her, she said, I don't know if I'm going to be around next year, but I definitely wanted to come this year to be able to see you. I still see that lady's number on the line every week. And that was, what, 4 years ago? And guess what? We can't attribute that to no prophet laying hands on her, no healer laying hands on her. You know, it's the power of Yah. You keep that word going. You honor him. You do his laws, statutes, and his commandments, and you keep that word going, and you watch what the Most High will do in your life. Because if it's not unto death, and it's a sin, if it ain't your time to go, and it's something, something you have contracted or a sickness, you can go before the Most High with that. And this is the assurance that we have. And I still see her number every week on the Sabbath day. And I just look and smile. I'm like, man, she was supposed to have been gone. According to her, she was supposed to have been gone a long time ago, but she's still here. I ran into a young lady that I grew up in church with, and we was in Walmart, and she came over to me, and she said, you know, I had a stroke. Her mouth was twisted up. I said, oh, I'm sorry to hear that. She said, yeah, I had a stroke. I said, yeah, but you still here. She was like, yeah, that's true. I said, a lot of people gone, but you still here. She said, well, what do I need to do? I said, first of all, start eating according to the dietary law in the Old Testament. Start that first. She said, you know what? I'm going to do that. I said, start eating according to the dietary law in the Old Testament. Now, I haven't seen her since. You know, of course, I invited her to come to our program. I haven't seen her since. You know what I'm saying? But all I did was plant the seed. Somebody else will come by, you know what I'm saying, and water it, and then the Most High will get an increase. But we have to be a walking word of encouragement. And we do it according to what we've lived, not according to what somebody else tells us. That's the importance of being an Israelite to me, is to be able to live it and then tell somebody I'm living it and I'm a witness that this is what will happen. It works. Do you have peace? Yes, I have peace that surpasses all understanding. It works. Do you have joy? Absolutely, I'm joyful. Not only do I have joy, but I have a prophecy and I have purpose that I'm waiting on something that no other nation can say. It works. Have I grown up from the time that I made this transition? You better believe it. That old black heart I used to have is just as soft. You know, I used to never did cry. Man, I cried the drop of a hat now. I'd be like, boo-hooing. You know, he just took this old ratchet heart of mine and twisted it and turned it like, I'm going to show you how to love people. Because everybody's not like you. Everybody don't have the strength that you have. Everybody don't have the comprehension. Everybody don't have the story that you have. Some people are not built up the same way you are. This is the purpose of carrying one another. Iron sharpens iron. Some people are introverts. I'm an extrovert. So we all help each other get through it. We help each other get through it. You know, have I felt like throwing people under the bus sometimes? Yes. Do my nerves get bent out of shape sometimes? Yes. But you know what? I have to always reach back and ask y'all to help me. And usually after I have a day or two to calm down, I'm okay with it. It's like, okay, let's go back at it again. Let's roll up our sleeves and hit it again. And this is how we become the example. This is the only way we can come to become the example. No? I don't have time to hate white people. I don't have time for that. You know, I have some very, the people that I go to, my dental clinic and stuff, all them people is Gentiles. and they're very nice to me. Been going there for the last 20 years. I think they're the best dental office in the region, and would never say anything negative about it because I am very fond of those people, and they have done very good work for me. I don't have issues with that. Work with people that I'm very fond of. No, I'm not going to spend time hating nobody. I'm not going to do it. I ain't time for that. That's too much energy that I don't want to use on nobody. Because I have people that I am very fond of that have been very nice to me at work. I mean, you know, they may feel some kind of way different when they get home, but guess what? When we at work, everybody's a professional. We grin, we smile, we grin, we do our work, we're nice to each other, and we go home. Now, do I want to go to their house? No, I don't have a desire to go sit in nobody's house and all that kind of stuff. But when we're at work, they're very nice to me. When I used to work in the office, but I'm just saying. You know, those that we have, what I'm saying is, we have to live in this society until we leave. We have to work next to people. We have to go to doctor's offices and dental offices and all kind of stuff. We have to still function among the people that we live among. And everybody's not nasty. No, we just have to understand that. Anybody, you can feel free to push one if you want to. I'm just rambling on, but Brother Uriah, what you think about that?
No, I think you're right. I mean, I don't have any animosity against any of my coworkers or any people of the other nations either. Matter of fact, some of them are nicer than me than some of my own kind sometimes, to be very honest with you.
That's what I'm saying. You know? No, and you just we don't operate that way. You know, somebody's got to represent from a professional standpoint, you know, in my opinion. You know, I don't know about nobody else, but I've come a long way. All praises be to the Most High Yah. I've come a long way. A long way, and I'm proud of it. I'm glad that he took me through what he took me through so that I could make the change and the transition. Came a long way from the person that I used to be. You know, it's like, no, these are the things that, you know, when we give our testimonies and our personal testimonies of the life that we now live opposed to the one that we used to live, you know, even when it comes to salvation, you know, and when you look at it, you say, well, when somebody said something about salvation yesterday, and it's like, what is salvation? When you really look at the whole totality of the picture, you know, because if you have the same mind of Christ, then it's going to be the same situation. You're going to have to conform your thinking to the way that it was done, period. And I think what the problem is, a lot of people are still holding on to that whole Christian mentality. They're still holding on to that. They're still putting credence in that. And you cannot. Because the first thing we have to deal with first is identity. We have to deal with the identity crisis first. And then once you get past the identity crisis, then you have to deal with the curse and the reason for the identity crisis. And once you understand the curse, then you have to understand the reason for the curse and then understand what you did. And then you have to understand the deliverance for the curse to get you out of the curse. Not to say you still can't believe in the Messiah, because I always will. That will never change. There's nobody on this line that could change my mind about that. However, I know there's people on here that don't believe in him, and you have every right to do that. We have to get past those things. They can't be ignored. There has to be character building. We have to be able to, there has to be a character change. I'm just saying. I mean, you know, I'm talking today. I'm not. The floor is open. Anybody they want can push one, if you want to. You know, but this is what we stand for. This is the purpose for the nation of Yehuda over here. You know, so I just want to share, you know, on Saturday when we come together, that's Supernatural Saturday. We're going to be talking about all kinds of stuff. And we learn from each other. You know, so we want to share something other than COVID. You know, because COVID has been a topic for a long time. You know, we want to put something out there other than COVID because, you know, we have to continually work on ourselves. You know, the women's class is excellent. We have an excellent women's call, you know, where the women come together and we talk about issues of ourselves. We deal with all kind of stuff. We deal with beauty topics. We deal with relationship issues. You know, we deal with children issues with our children, you know, single women and dating and all kind of things. We deal with it all. You know, and it's not a lot of us, but it's enough that when we truly come together, it is the meeting of the minds. And everybody has something to contribute. You know, especially, I mean, you know, I've always felt like this. I feel like, you know, when two people get married, I believe that, you know, because of the captivity that we're living in, and because of the things that they have showed us, I believe that it is more important now than ever to have a support system. I believe this is even people that have been married. You know, because if you be honest, we all got married under preconceived ideals. You know, we were influenced by the television, we were influenced by the church, we were influenced by a whole lot of things that made us say, wow, I want to have this life. And a lot of us didn't realize what it took in order to build a relationship and have a relationship like marriage. So me personally, I believe this way. I believe that when two people get married, I believe the first 3 years they should have counseling continually. And this is what I believe. I believe they should have counseling by a couple that has longevity, and I think that they should have counseling by a couple that didn't make it. And the reason why I say that is because you'll be able to get the picture from both sides. You know, and the people that didn't make it can tell you what they did wrong, because they did, why they didn't make it. Because everybody goes into it thinking that, oh, we going to be different than everybody else. We don't need nobody but us. You know, and then you find yourself falling into a situation where, you know, it doesn't last. And those are the things that we talk about on our women's call. You know, the importance of communication. The importance of relationship. How to make each other feel special. You know, and all that kind of stuff. We talk about those kind of things. You know, and it's such a rich class. You know, and we'll slowly grow it as it begins to grow. But to just be able to hear from other women, you know, we went through this, or my husband and I do this, or I'm dating a guy like this, or I had to let somebody go because they were doing this, or, you know, different things. But it's a maturity level. Everybody's growing up. And I think it's wonderful. You know, because everybody got issues now. I mean, you know, we just have to be able to, and then the forgiveness thing, you have to be able to forgive. Now, it doesn't mean you don't have to put yourself in the line of fire again. You know, you don't mean you have to go back and be mistreated again, but you do have to forgive people. You have to forgive. Because that'll eat you alive if you don't. I don't know why I'm talking about this kind of stuff. That kind of stuff will eat you alive if you don't do it. It's not worth holding on to. It's not. know, forgive. Be nice and forgive. Because, you know, like I said, it don't matter whether you forgive them or not. What they did to you is going to come back on them. And if you don't forgive them, the very thing that you get offended by, it's going to eat you alive, and it's just not worth it. It's not worth it. You know, so I just want to be able to say that. Because, and then another thing we have to understand, there's a lot of people on this line that's married to different to women of the other nations. And we have to be very careful with what we say. But that's where maturity comes in at. That's where, you know, adulthood comes in at. You know, spiritual maturity. I'm not even talking about physical maturity, but spiritual maturity. And as long as we've been in this word, that has to have done something. And we got to mature. Anybody want to push one? I'm not scolding anybody. I'm just talking. You know, we have to be able to mature. It's important. You know, and be there for each other if we need them. I mean, you know, we can do that from a distance. You know. I mean, it is what it is. It's just, you know, that's the beautiful part about growing. If you're alive and you got breath in your body, it is a blessing to be alive. It's because he giving you time to get it right. That's all it is. It's time for you to get it right. It's time for you to say you're sorry to somebody or to forgive somebody or to go ask for forgiveness or something. It's he giving you time to get it right. And in the meantime, what did he say? I think it's in Proverbs where King Solomon said he allows you to enjoy the fruit of your labor. He allows you to enjoy, you know, the fruit of your hands and to be able to go to work and buy things and have families and enjoy children and grandchildren and people and relationships. The Most High is that type of Elohim. He don't want robots. You know, he cares about other people of the other nations as well, you know. Brother Uriah, what was the name of the, his name is on the tip of my tongue, the warlock that was trying to curse Israel? What was his name? It's right there on the tip of my tongue.
I can't remember his name either.
He was trying to curse Israel. The Most High went to him and asked him, don't curse Israel. I'm like, you ask? You know? Hold on, I'm gonna see if I can pull it up. Balaam. He was hired to curse Israel. He was. They hired him to curse the children of Israel.
Was that in the book of Numbers?
It's in Numbers 22.
Right.
The Moabite. You know? He did. And he was hired to do it, and he didn't do it. He said in verse 9, verse 8, he said, spend the night here, Balaam said to them, and I'll report to you what the Most High tells me. So the princes of Moab stayed with Balaam. It says, and Yah came to Balaam and asked, who are these men with you? Now this is our Elohim talking to a warlock, a male witch. He know what he's trying to do. And Balaam answered, Balak, son of King Zippor of Moab, sent them with this message. Some people have just come from Egypt and are spreading out all over the countryside. Now come and curse them for me. Maybe I'll be able to fight them and force them out. But Yah said unto Balaam, don't go with them. Yah! Don't curse these people because they are blessed. This is the Most High Elohim talking to a witch. Tell him, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't curse these people. He could have took him out at any time, and Balaam would have been out of the game completely. But y'all, that's the Elohim we serve. He came to him and said, don't curse these people. These people, because they blessed. He said, when Balaam got up in the morning, he said to Balak, prince, go back to your own country, because the Most High has refused to let me go with you. So the Moabite princes went back to Balak and said, Balaam refused to come with us. He said, the Most High told him, whatever you do, do not curse these people. And then Balaam, they said, well, we'll give you some gold and stuff. And Balaam, but it said in 18, but Balaam answered Balak's servants. He said, even if Balak gave me his palace filled with silver and gold, I couldn't disobey the command of the Most High, my Elohim, no matter whether the request was important or not. And then it said that night, verse 20, it said that night Yah came to Balaam and said, if these men have summoned you to go, go with them, but do only what I tell you. These are the situations where he uses the evil against the people that try to commit evil. He's strategizing against the same people that's trying to come up against Israel. This is the kind of stuff I want to know about my Elohim. These are the things that I want to know about him and how he operates. Hold on a minute. Area code 540, your mic is open. You're on the air.
Oh, I was the one that was saying Balaam.
Yeah, Balaam. He did. He told him, he said, you can go with him, but only do what I tell you to do. In other words, I'm going to give you something to tell them that's going to send them in a whole nother light, a whole nother light on everything. That's how y'all operate. So he ain't always fire and brimstone like they want to make us believe. He going to kill y'all. He going to kill you, too, if you don't get yourself together. And just
he
like
tells
you
how
said,
to live.
Yes, the same way you laugh, sis, is the same way you should be able to know him and say, this is how he works. And a lot of people don't know that because they're so busy trying to be spiritual that they don't even understand the Elohim that they serve. They don't even know him.
He's a parent.
Yes, he is.
You love your children. And you're pleasant, but if you tell them don't do something and it's going to hurt them and they persist in doing it, then you're going to have to get stern and punishment is going to have to come if they won't listen.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And guess what? Not only is he a parent to us, he operates in the community where which we live, among the people that we live around.
Yes.
They do. I thought about that time I told you when the group went to Washington, D.C., and they was marching around the United Nations building, and they, you know, the story that I got because I wasn't there, but the person that told me the story was the one who led it, that they had snipers on the roof and all the police officers and stuff was there, and they was out of their cars, guns drawn, and all kind of crazy stuff going on. He said, and then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, all the sirens went on in the cars and wasn't nobody in them. Woo! I said, well, why? I said, well, what happened? He said, they all got in their cars and left and scared kind of stuff that make you get to know Yah. And you just laugh at him like, boy, you something else. He didn't strike them people dead because they was white people. We got to stop all this foolishness. It's like, honey, it's going to happen to them, and some of this stuff might happen to you if you don't get the right attitude. Mm-mm. I just fell out laughing. I said they were. He said they got all of them left. They left. So, you know, this is all real. This is serious stuff right here. You know, we just got to get to know him, and I want to know him that way. I want to know him. I want to know him from an Elohim standpoint, and I want to know him from a personal standpoint. I mean, he came and sat down and ate with Abraham. Him and two of the angels came and sat and ate with Abraham. They sat down and ate physically. You know, he's always showed up in different spots, in different places. You know, he going to meet Balaam. He came to meet Balaam and said, where you going? Nah, don't curse them people. You don't curse them. Those people is blessed. When do you ask a witch not to curse somebody? That don't even make sense. But he did. He has a sense of humor. He does. He's an Elohim that has emotions. He tells you he's jealous. He tells you when he's hurt. These are the things that I want to know about him. He gets angry. And then guess what? After he gets angry, he repents sometimes for the things that he thought about doing. The one that we have to repent to, he repents. That way you get to see him differently. You get to understand him differently. Just like in the New Testament when Yahushua ran up against this lady from Samaria and she asked him for something. He said, it's not meet for me to give the king's meal to a dog. And I guess she probably looked like, did you just call me a dog? But you know what? I love her because she was on it. She said, even a dog desires the crumbs that fall from the master's table. I said, get him, girl. You know what he did? He blessed her anyway. That's what I'm talking about. Those are the kind of conversations I'm talking about. That you so scared you can't talk to him. Or you so spiritual you floating through the room. He wants to have a relationship with you. That's what we trying to do over here. Now, I don't know what everybody else trying to do. I don't know what the other groups is trying to do. But I want to know him like that. That's the kind of Elohim I know. He called that lady a dog. I said, oh, somebody would have got highly offended, but she got right back with him. Because it was something she wanted. She said, even a dog desires the crumbs that fall from the master's table. I guess he couldn't do nothing but say, well, okay. he blessed her. But see, everybody know that kind of God because everybody's so busy trying to make him into this tyrant that he just getting ready to come burn everything up and all the people going to be alive is Israel. That's not the way the story reads. Mm-mm. All praises be to him. He's something to get to know him. When you do know him, you build a real relationship with him. When your prayers become real, look, hey, I mess up sometimes. I tell him all the time, you know I love you, but I mess up a lot of times. I need your help. Have mercy on me. I am sorry. I'm trying over here. I really am trying. I'm doing the best I can. Have mercy on me. Give me some more grace because I need some. I don't be sitting up talking about, oh, Father, I don't do all that. All that's over with. That left with the church. I don't do all that. That's fake. Yeah. He want to know his kids. Like she said, he a father. He know you. He know you better than you know you. You know, I asked him one day, I said, what's your favorite color? I know what your favorite flower is. I know it's the lily. I know the lily because you told me the lily was your favorite flower. But what's your favorite color? That's the kind of stuff I want to know. I want to know him. You know? That's what relationship is. You know, but then when we start reading it, he told us what his favorite animal was, what his favorite river was. We know that his land, his favorite is the land of Canaan. He know, he said that land is special because it's mine. I chose that land. I watch it continually. It's the best land on the whole planet. You know, so I just, you know, we gotta really take the time to get to know who it is we serve and who, what kind of a being he is. We know he's a God. We know he is the Elohim, the creator of all things, but he still has personality. He still has emotions. He has the same thing that we have because we were made in his likeness and in his image. He gets emotional. You know, so that's the reason for, you know, the different topics and the different classes and the different things, you know, that we produce here at the Nation of Yehuda, because you need to know him. And I mean, you know, like I said, it may not interest you, it may not be important. If it's not, you know, we just keep the phone line muted and we'll just keep going on. I don't do the spooky spiritualism stuff no more. I did all that. I did 30 years of that in the church. I done had enough of all that mess. That stuff ain't real. That's what you give a fake Elohim, the fake stuff. I want to know him from a different level. And no, I'm not going to none of them for none of them to tell me nothing about him. I'm going to find out about him from him. And I think some people are afraid to let go of the church. Let that mess go. That's like going to a mistress and asking a mistress about your husband. You can't go to her and ask her about him. She don't know him. She was just something to do because you wasn't doing what you were supposed to do. So if you want to get to know him, get to know him on your own. That's your husband. Same way with the people that professing to be Israel. I'm not asking you nothing. I don't want you to tell me nothing. I'm going to get to know him on my own. I don't need to count with you. I don't want to keep the high holy days with you. I don't want to do none of that. I want to get to, if I make a mistake, at least he see I'm trying. I want to know him on my own. I don't want nobody else helping me. Same way with these religious programs on television. Y'all ought to be ashamed of yourself. Everything on there, all of that mess, and they using it word for word, verbatim. Samson didn't have no blonde hair, no blue eyes. That's why you can't go to them, because it's all distorted. You got to go straight to the source. And you can go boldly now. You can go boldly before the throne and have a conversation with him. You can bypass the priest. You ain't got to go to the priest. You can bypass the priest and have a conversation with Yah. He want to talk to you. He has a sense of humor, all kind of stuff going on. But you let Israel tell him, man, he's dogmatic and ready to kill everybody but us. That's not how it's done. know, it's just time. It's time to do something else, y'all. We gotta get to that point where we under. At least that's where I want to be. I want to get to that point where I know him. That as much as he will allow me to know him, I want to know him on that level. I'm not gonna let nobody else influence me, and no other group influence me on how and what and how what way. So that is, and I said all that to say this. That is the reason for our classes. That is the reason for our Supernatural Saturday. That is the reason for the things that we teach. That is the things that we go into, because when I go before him, I'm asking questions. Well, what about this? Well, how come that happened? Well, how can you be the root and the offspring of Jesse? How is that possible? Because in order for you to be the root, it had to come from you. But then you turn around and said, I'm the root and the offspring of Jesse. How is that working? I'm confused. And I was always one of them little kids that wanted to know. But why? And they see, because so-and-so, so-and-so. But why? Because so-and-so, so-and-so. And they were like, girl, don't ask me why no more. I've always wanted to know why. I'm the same way with him. But why? How is that possible? He didn't say I couldn't come ask. He said, ask, and it shall be given. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and the door be open. And people wonder, well, why do we have to know all that? I don't understand why that's pertinent and why that's important. You may not want to. You may not. That might, where you know him, that might be good enough for you, and that's fine, but we're going to keep going. I want to know as much as I can know. So the, guess what? When the fake one come up talking good, I know, no, that ain't y'all. Y'all don't operate like that. Nah, that ain't him. Because he said in the last days, many going to come professing to be me. He said, when they tell you I'm in the wilderness, I'm over here, don't go. When they tell you I'm up in the housetop, don't go. You got to know him in order to be able to say that. No, else you'll believe the History Channel and everybody else. Oh, they made us. There was a group of Elohim that came to the earth, and they made this slave race of people, and they left the earth, and they said one day they'll be coming back again. Bull crap. They ain't created nothing. No, they ain't made us or none of that. Them beings came down here and slept with the women and created children just like we have to do to create children. Now all of a sudden the Bible is questionable. The Bible may not be true. The Bible may have a different spin on it. It's the same old Bible and it ain't got nothing different to it. And ain't no other way to look at it. It's one Elohim and that's the one we read about. But if you don't know him, guess what? You'll fall for that. Oh, yeah, they did make us. Maybe I'm from the planet Sirion or whatever the heck they be talking about. Man, please. You'll believe anything. They don't even know y'all. They'll make up anything because to them, that makes sense. They'll look at that and be like, well, you know, that does make a whole lot of sense. Well, that must be what really happened. No. That ain't what happened. What happened is what's in the book. What happened is what they said is in the book. That's what happened. So that's all I wanted to say. I wanted to be able to get that out. Hold on. Let me open up this mic real quick. Area code 972, your mic is open. You're on the air.
Yes, I've been listening to you, and I enjoy what you just said. I was, because I thought about the patriarchs. The thing that was so interesting about them and is so notable about them is that they had a personal relationship with the Most High. It wasn't about just following law, statutes, and commandments. Everyone that we laud, that we mention, they all had an individual relationship. They were able to talk with him and walk with him and discuss with him when people were around, but primarily when they were by themselves. And to me, this is the thing that's so important. We have to know who he is, because when we are in a crisis, and we really need to contact him. We can't do it through somebody else. We need that personal relationship. And I was actually listening to a program today. I listened to two, actually. I listened to the church that I was raised in. And I really appreciated the message because he was saying exactly what you're saying. It's not the title. You have to obey this law. You have to obey the words that are in this book. That's how you live your life. And that's the thing that determines your relationship with the Most High. Basically, when we're in a crisis, we have to be able to get them. Then I was listening to another channel, which was a Gentile, and he was talking about how he no longer believed. He believed that there was some kind of divine, intelligent being, but he didn't believe anything. And this is one of these Hebrew roots kind of groups, too. He totally walked away from it because he was going just by those laws, statutes, and commandments, but he didn't have a relationship. And everybody's looking at everybody else for guidance, but we cannot give each other what we can only get from the Most High. We have to know the word. We have to obey, but we also have to have that relationship. And that relationship comes by really spending time with him in the word. And so I appreciate what you're saying because and I think we're getting ready to leave. Okay, so it's time for us to go. If we're looking to somebody else and they go the wrong way and we follow them, we're all just going to end up in a ditch. You know, they say the blind leading the blind and they end up in a ditch. We have to hear from the Most High. Otherwise, we're not going to do what we're supposed to do when we're supposed to do it and how we're supposed to do it. So it's really important.
Hallelujah. That's all I'm trying to say. I mean, you know, and that's from a real standpoint. I mean, it's not spiritual. It's not spiritually correct. It's not, like I said, a lot of times we have to divorce all of that mess that we learn from the church. All that spirituality stuff that we learn from the church is fake. God wants a real person with a real conversation, with real issues, and want to really know him. All that
That's true.
Spiritual is fake. Be real about it. Because like you said, when you get in a crisis, sometimes all you have trying to say is help. For real.
That's it.
Like, help. I need you to help me. Do you see this? You ain't got time for three Hail Marys and a huck of Mashonda. Sometimes it's just help. Please help me. You know, and he understands because that's real.
Yeah, I listen to him, and I actually, I'm not going to say the name of the program because I guess they're having their own internal things, and he has simply walked away and renounced everything. But I was reading through the comments, and I said, you know what? The one thing that's missing here is he does not – and he was saying, I don't even believe – I read one of the comments he made in reply to someone that he said he didn't even believe that the miracles in the Bible were real. I said, you know why? You have not had a relationship. You haven't seen one performed in your own life. If you have seen this in your life, nobody can dissuade you. I know what happened for me. That was the thing that really convinced me of who the Most High was and convinced me of my importance. It wasn't what somebody told me necessarily. I had seen a lot of things. But when it really manifested and worked in my own life, I said, I know you were real. I know who you are, and I know you know who I am. So it took on real meaning when he says the hairs on my head are numbered. He knows my name. I know he knows my name. And the reason I know is because he spoke to me. He talked to me. He led me out of situations that were dire. And it's been life-changing. And so I've, like you said, I've messed up, but I've always come back because I know who to go to. And I know the voice. So when it's time to go, I'm not even worried. I know I'm not going to be led astray because I know the voice.
Absolutely, and that's real. I mean, that's real talk. That is real talk. Like I said, you got to let go of the other stuff and get to knowing for real, and the way you get to knowing, and steer clear from the spooky spirituals that hear his voice all the time and don't want to read his word. They ain't no telling who they talking to, for real. I said, you got to, because when you know to love him is to love his word and to get to know him and understand who he is. Because like I said, he's a being, and he has emotions, and he'll take the time to get to know you too. You know, and a whole lot of stuff changed in my life. I know the transition that I have made. You know, and he had to do that in order for me to be here with you all today, because there would have been a time I wouldn't have had time for this kind of stuff in my life. Not that what I was doing was more important. It just was foolishness and mess. And until he took me away from all that and realized, you know, listen, I got to get you prepared for what's getting ready to happen. And it hurt. It wasn't something easy to go through either, you know, because he had to give you some patience. And when you understand how patience comes, that comes through trials and tribulations, you know, and you just have to learn do you have to get to know him? And when you know him is the loving. And when you love him and he's ready to do what he needs to grow you up, it's going to hurt a little bit. But like she said, that's what a father does. A father has to chastise you. Those whom he loves, he chastises. He has to get us prepared for what we're getting ready to endure. You know, and that's a father's love. That's how he loves us. So, you know, I just wanted to share that with you because that is my goal. If I could ever lay the goals out like I did today, that is the goal of the nation of Yehuda. You know, it's to know Yah on a level that we have never known him before, to the point where it's second nature for us to commune with him and he come commune with us. Because he will. He will. No, you just have to be prepared for that. But all that other stuff, he got divorced, all that other stuff. I'm telling you, and guess what? And if he walked away from the Most High and he don't know him, that's his loss. You know, he won't get to know him. Because, you know, when you start talking about, well, I don't know if I believe this and I don't know if I want to believe that, well, he watching and he listening to all that too. Instead of saying, whatever it is that I'm not sure of, show me. He will. He'll show it to you. Yeah, he's listening. We serve a true and living Elohim. He is living. He's listening. He's watching. And he's right there for you when you need him. All you got to do is call him. But when you throw in the towel, what are you going to do? He's like, oh, she ain't ready yet. She got to go through a little bit more. You're going to have to do that test over again, because next time when you get through with that test, you're going to call me.
Yeah, sometimes he has to take everything away. You know,
yes,
I've had to. Pride, I've lost a lot of stuff, but through it all, I've never lost him, and he never lost sight of me. And the thing is, I'm looking at him, he's a Gentile, right? But the thing is if he's following stuff just because that's the way to do it, and head knowledge is one thing.
Yes.
You can read and understand. That doesn't mean that it's real for you. You can say all kinds of stuff, but that is not the thing. It's a relationship. And so for him, it may take all that. You may have to get rid of all of it so that you can be reconnected with something that you're supposed to have. Because he seems sincere enough. He said he was raised in this, you know, in Christianity. Yeah, you can sit in the middle of stuff and it doesn't mean anything because you never tried. When things get hot all of a sudden, what do you have? Somebody else's experience is not going to do it. Head knowledge is not going to do it. You have to be able to get that, make that connection and hear from the Most High when there's nobody else. I always think when there's nobody else but you and the Most High, seems like for me that's how it's always happened. Even if there are people around, I'm still in the middle of something by myself. I have to hear from him. He is the only one that can give me what I need in that situation. It's always been that way. And I had to go through the same thing. I was kind of identified with him because, you know, I was in a graduate, I was in a PhD program. I have a lot of degrees, but I have had to humble myself. I've lost a lot of stuff. But the Most High couldn't use me. He's still saying, I really can't use you. I still got to do some stuff with you. But the one thing that I can do is I can really relate to people in different situations because the Most High has put me there. I said, I know what that feels like. Either I'm there or I've been there. And this other stuff, it can give you a fleeting pleasure, but it doesn't really satisfy, and it doesn't give you the relationship that is most important. Because when I leave here, I'm leaving with none of the things that this world says are important. It's just going to be me and the Most High.
That's heart knowledge. You know, it's the difference between head knowledge and heart knowledge, because you have to have a heart to want to know Yah. You have to have a heart to want to get to know him, and it's not predicated on stuff. It don't have nothing to do with stuff. You know, it has to do with a relationship to want to get to know him, because guess what? He'll give you the stuff. He said, I'll give you the stuff. Ask. It'll be given. He said, but that's not what it is. You need to come know me. Come know me.
No, and right now we're sitting in the midst of a what seems to be an ongoing crisis where people's stuff is threatened. Everything that they think they may have is under threat. So what if this stuff all goes? What if what will you have then? And if it doesn't go, still what will you have? Life is very, very, very short. I mean, at the longest, it's very short. Eternity is long.
Yeah.
So.
Yes, ma'am. I believe all of what you said is very true. Very true. And that's just the truth. So, I mean, you know, I wanted to, I'm getting ready to end the call, but I wanted to be able to let you know what we stand for and the reason why the nation of Yehuda is around. You know, because we want to be able to know our Elohim. We already know who we are. We already have our identity. We already know why we're here. We already know what we did. We know what we did and why we're sitting here when that the outcome is that we leave it here. But we need to know our Elohim in a way that nobody else does. And I believe he will reveal, and we know him through that word. And he said, without faith, it's impossible to please Yah. We got to have faith, and faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. So I just wanted you to know that that is our goals, our projected goals, our mission statement, or whatever else it is you need to know. That is why we're here, is to get to know him on a personal level. To break down that word and find different things out about his personality, his makeup, his likeness, his image, his attitudes, his emotions, all of it. We want to know all of it because he's our Elohim. And on that note, guess what, you guys? My daughter has fixed dinner on today on Sunday, and I'm getting ready to go eat. So I want you all to have a wonderful rest of your day, the first of the week. And you guys enjoy yourself, and we will see. Now, listen, Tuesday night is the 5th. We're going to come back together on our call on Tuesday night at 7:30. That's the kickoff of the Feast of Tabernacle. 7:30 Tuesday night. There will be no men's call. There will be no women's call. We're going to come together and acknowledge the Feast of Tabernacles on Tuesday night so that we can kick it off, and because they're going to go into their 7 days, and then we're going to come back, I think, on the 3rd for the 8-day feast. Same time, 7:30. Everybody have a wonderful rest of your evening, and shalom, shalom, everyone.
Shalom.
Shalom.
Shalom.